Good to see everybody here this evening. I thought I would pause and make sure who all was here tonight. When I saw LV and Kathy here this morning about 10 minutes into the sermon, I was absolutely lost for the rest of it. I almost hollered out, well, hey, there's LV and Kathy. For those of you who don't know, LV has been struggling, I think, with maybe the onset of Alzheimer's is what they think, and so it's been a really difficult year or two for them, and as a matter of fact, I got to visit with Kathy just before they were leaving, and she said that she kind of had to trick them to come, but she just sounded real grateful to be here, and what a treat that was to get to see them. So good to have Nora back feeling good again. And it's great to have our visitors, too. I know that Brad and Kaylee snuck in, and it's great to have Brock with us as well. And so, but it's just good to see each one of y'all. Good to have Clayton here keeping his grandfather in line. I'm sure he'll stay busy while he's here, as a matter of fact. But good to have each one here tonight. The lesson that we began this morning was on do not fret. And I want to go back and just read the first eight verses of Psalms chapter 37, if you'd like to follow along. This is a psalm of David. And he starts out by saying, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. And then he gives us a solution for not fretting. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Well, we have this eight-verse passage that essentially is a bracketing of do not fret. And within that bracketing, we have a solution to that. Trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, and be still before the Lord. And if we can do these things, it's really going to help. That is not going to take away the difficult things in life. It's just going to make them easier to get through. For those of you who weren't here this morning, we introduced the lesson with an example that had happened to Zig Ziglar when he was going through the airport in Phoenix, Arizona, and it had been raining and hailing and everything else, and because of that, they were backed up at the airport, and they were having some computer difficulties on top of that. And so the gate agent was just really having a hard time. There was a long line of people, and they just seemed to be taking out everything upon them, from the weather to the computer problems to the economy. And so when Zig Ziglar asked him how he was doing, he just had the comment, as compared to who? And that was when he offered this bit of perspective. He said, as compared to someone who doesn't have a job, as compared to someone who doesn't have warm clothing, as compared to somebody who doesn't have control over their future, as compared to someone who does not have the proper food or freedom of speech or freedom of travel. And the man he was talking to, who was so irritated and frustrated with all the things that were just being kind of dumped on him unfairly, but still it was a fact. When he thought about that and about how he was doing, he said, well, now that you say that, I'm doing wonderfully well. And thank you for reminding me. And the whole point of that Zig Ziglar was making as he was relating that was, when we have things that are causing us to fret, when we have things that are very difficult in life, what we need to do is we need to change our input. We need to stop focusing on the bad things. You have to take care of the bad things. They're a reality. This is not a you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get up and get going type of a lesson. We do deal with the difficult things, but we don't have to dwell on the difficult things. And when we start thinking of the solutions that God has given to us, trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, be still before the Lord, then it really helps us to have the type of life that he wants us to have. And that in turn will allow us to serve others and to be a servant of God in the way that He expects us to do it, so we can get on with the work. We talked about trust this morning, and there was a couple more passages I wanted to look at on that. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and enjoy safe pasture." Psalms chapter 56, verse 3. We're told that Psalms chapter 56, it is headed a psalm while David was with the Philistines in Gath. Now, when he was with the Philistines in Gath, he was fleeing from Saul, because Saul had determined once and for all to put him to death. He was too much of a threat in Saul's mind to his power, and so he was going to kill him. And so here David is having to flee to enemy territory, and he's in the house there of the enemy. And so while he goes through all this, and afterwards he thinks about it and he writes this down. In verse 3 of Psalm 56, he said, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Now think about that for a moment. He feared for his life while he was there. So this is not just a little thing. "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" I've always liked this passage because, as you know, mortal man can do a lot of things to you physically. he can beat you. He can imprison you. He can take away your freedom. He can take away your money. He can take away a lot of different things. He can even take away your life. But from the eternal perspective, what can mortal man do to you? And the answer is, for those who trust in the Lord, for those who are focused upon the eternal, man can do nothing to us. And the reason is because we were planning on going to heaven anyway. We've got to get through this notion of everything physical is the most important. It's hard to, because we live in a physical world. This is something, by the way, that is really easy for me to get up and stand up and talk about, but it's really hard for me just to go through a regular day. For example, as far as do not fret. By the way, can I read this again, what the definition is? Fret: to give oneself up to feelings of irritation, resentful discontent, worry, or the like, to cause corrosion, gnaw, to move in agitation or commotion, to torment, irritate, annoy, or vex. We got home this afternoon, and I was pulling something out of the refrigerator because we'd just gotten home from lunch, and I thought I'd have a cup of coffee, and I need milk with my coffee. And so I was about to do that, and as I was pulling it out, I pulled out this nice deal of roast that was in a nice container, and it pulled out right onto me, onto the floor, and it snapped, and it broke, and it slung all the good juices that taste good on the roast, but they're not as good on your blue jeans or on the refrigerator or on the floor. And my first reaction is, ah, and then it's like, I just did a sermon on fretting, irritation, and all, and it's like, and yet I can't even make it, you know, an hour. And so we have to catch ourselves from time to time. This is easy to talk about, but it's not always easy to do, even with something as simple as spilling roast on yourself. So if we can really focus on what we're here for, it changes. "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Solomon says this through inspiration: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There are so many all your heart passages within Scripture, we get the idea that doing things with all our heart is really important to God. I like being around people who do things with all their heart. They throw themselves into whatever it is, whether it's work or play or eating a roast beef sandwich. They do it with all their heart. God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart. And that means that there has to be a trust that goes along with that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There has to be an absolute understanding in that absolute perspective of, this is not what I'm here for, and things are never as bad as they seem. Because if we're right before the Lord spiritually, things are really good in our life. You could have the most terrible imaginable physical life, but kneel before God on Judgment Day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and your life would have been a smashing success because you would have achieved what God put you on this earth to achieve. But getting through those difficult times requires trust. And so again, the first solution, the first bit of input that we need to replace all the things that are causing us to fret is trusting in the Lord. The second was found in verse 4 of Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart? You just think about the things that are really important to you, and those things that are really important to you, if they are in accord with God's will, you're going to have them if you delight yourself in the Lord. Delight is to take pleasure in. Delight is to favor one thing over another, or to find favor with. But delight is one of those things that I don't know that we use the word a whole lot. And when we do, we're not really sure what it means. But delight is something that we are to do. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So if we find pleasure in our service to God, then He's going to take care of the rest of the important things. We will not always get our way, but we will always have the desires of our heart. Think about Jesus in the garden. He prayed to God if it was His will that the cup would pass from Him. And yet Jesus still had to go through the beatings and the humiliation and the crucifixion. Did Jesus get God's will? And the answer is yes. Did Jesus get what He wanted? And the answer is yes, because Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, Father, but Your will be done. And that was exactly what He got. And so when this says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, make sure the desires of your heart are compatible with what God feels is the most important for you. And you'll achieve that. It's an amazing thing to know that you can achieve the most important thing in your life, not because of you being so good, but because God will see to it. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Doesn't that sound appealing? Doesn't that sound refreshing? He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Seems like in the last several years, we have set a number of records. In 2011, we had the least amount of rain on record in this part of the world. I think it was 2011. It was a little over 5 inches. Now, I'm sure they had less at other times, but since they started recording it. And then somebody told me, I guess it'd been on the news for a while, that we just recently had the longest extended lack of rain being, as far as in measurable proportions, a hundredth of an inch or more in our recorded history. And I think it was over 120 days here in Happy. It was over 100 days in Lubbock. And so when we think about being like a tree planted by streams of water, we can really relate to that. Because we know what it is to be dry. It's not quite like being in the desert. Anybody that's been around the desert understands dry maybe in a way that we just think we do. But if we can be like trees planted by streams of water because our delight is in the law of the Lord, again, this is going to be one of those inputs that will take our mind off of what we've been fretting on and will cause us to think about what we need to. Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. This all keys off the idea of fearing God, that honoring God, that having holding God in awe because of His holiness, the love that we have for God, and also the fear that He can punish us if we don't do His will. All those things go into that. But for the man, the woman who will do that, they'll find great delight in His commands, and that will result in just a sequence of things happening. Your children will be mighty. Your generation will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in your home, and your righteousness will endure forever. Now, this wealth and riches may not always be what we think. We typically think of the things that are the least important when we think of wealth and riches. I never can get over the idea that the thing that men throughout the generations have held the most important as far as wealth, gold, is what the writer in Revelation reveals, or what the streets are paved with in heaven. Or at least it's that idea. We don't know exactly what the prophecy means, but we do understand from that it's not quite as valuable as we think it is, because it's pavement up there. If I went out onto Main Street and after services and said, I'm rich, I'm fantastically rich, you'd all think I'd lost my mind as I was hugging the asphalt out there. But how many people do that with gold, the thing that they think is wealth? When it says that wealth and riches will be in your house, it may not necessarily mean the physical things that you are thinking about. But I do believe it entails the physical. But true wealth and true riches are the things that we're talking about. Trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, commit to the Lord, be still before the Lord. These things are great riches. In Psalms 119, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselor. In verse 47, for I delight in your commands because I love them. When we talk about delighting in the Lord, we're talking about delighting in His Word. And if you want to know what it means to change the input of your life and how significant that is, those who have studied the matter on inputs have said that the first input that you have of the day is just as equally weighted as the next four that you have. And by that, it means by what you do first thing in the morning will impact your day more than the next three things and plus another one combined. So wouldn't it be good if we, when we woke up, we thought about God and thanked Him for the day and asked for His help? Wouldn't it be good if we went to His Word just briefly, if that's all the time we have, and just consider His Word for a moment? See, in 120 seconds, you could change the entire direction of your day. And if you've been fretting, this is going to help you with the things that you've been fretting about. Again, it doesn't take away the facts of life. It doesn't take away the fact that you have bills that need to be paid, or sickness that needs to be addressed, or even difficult people sometimes to work around. But by putting these inputs into your mind, into your heart, it will keep you from fretting, which God says, do not do. Goes on to say in Romans 7:22, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So when we talk about delighting ourselves in the Lord, we really are talking about delighting ourselves in His Word and about what it reveals about God, as well as all the benefits that we get as far as walking with God daily, being able to talk to Him at a moment's notice. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and that will help cure this fretting that we do. The last thing I want to talk about this evening is committing our way to the Lord. In verse 5 of Psalms 37, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. In other words, people will see your righteousness and the justice of your cause. And if your cause is Christ and Him crucified, people will see the justice of that cause. I think that one of the greatest mistakes that we can make in this world is thinking that we cannot change the world. Just think about the futility of that remark and what it allows us to do. Well, you can't change the world. Okay, I don't have to try. But if you can't change the world, can you tell me who can? Because God put us on this world to change the world. God could do it Himself, could He not? But He chose to use men to do that. And this attitude that we cannot change the world is one of the most defeatist ideas that we can get, because you can. I think about this Bible reading encouragement that we've been giving to other people. We've entitled it the 30-day study, but it's just Bible reading. And it was just an idea we had. And as we started with it and get to thinking about it, it was like, well, I can't change the world, but I can if I have Carolyn's help. And then Carolyn and I, well, we can't change the world, but we can if we have our children's help. And then it's our family can't change the world, but we can if we have the church's help. And then it's the church can't change the world, but we can if the other church's help. And when you start boiling it back down and breaking it back down, you can see that each one of us are absolutely critical for changing the world. And if we ever get to the thought that we cannot change the world, shame on us. There's nothing more defeatist. We may just well lay down and die if that's our attitude. But if we can actually just take the responsibility that God gives to us and then commit it to Him, then God can change the world through us, using us as His vessels. And we have to keep that in mind, because then these things make sense. Proverbs 16:1, commit to a man belongs the plans of a heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The question is, do we really believe that? Do we believe if we commit our plans to God that they'll succeed? Or do we change that up? Commit your plans to the Lord and they might succeed. Or commit your plans to the Lord and they probably won't succeed, but why not go ahead and try anyway? Who knows, even some people win the lottery. That's not what this says. It says commit your plans to the Lord and they will succeed. But the key is committing to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Peter is writing to those who are suffering for righteousness. And when you talk about fretting, and you talk about the idea of the angst that we sometimes experience because of the persecution of the world, then maybe you can see why this is so important, this idea of commitment. Because as Peter writes through inspiration about the fact that we will suffer persecution in this life, he says in verse 19 of 1 Peter 4, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." When times are hard, that's when we should commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. Obviously, when times are good too, but it's all the time. And when we can do that, those who suffer according to God's will will be rewarded for that. We're not going to get what we deserve for our sin. Christ has already paid that. The question is, will we accept what He has done for us with gratitude and with an appreciation of the responsibility that that gives to us? Because when we do that, then we can start committing our lives to God. I want to say again, the way we stop fretting is to trust in the Lord, to delight ourselves in the Lord, to commit our way to the Lord, and to be still before the Lord. And if we can do that, if we can stop focusing on the difficulties of life, still handling them as they come up, but if we can stop focusing on them and start focusing on the solution, it really will change our lives. And because of that, people will see how you handle things, and they're going to want that in their life if you're letting your light shine. But the question for all of us is, will we do it? Can I read one more passage? It's the one we'll close with. It's found in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Lord says, the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, "And repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." He tells them, this is what you'll win with. But if you decide not to, if you decide to have none of it, then you get no strength, you get no quietness, and you get no salvation. So the choice is ours. Which do you want? Do you really want to spend the rest of your life fretting, or do you want to use God's solutions to help cure that fretting? Again, easy to say, hard to do. But if we'll apply it, with God's help, we can do it. The invitation's open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?